see it in the movies and the paper and TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Just one.
There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight on this New Year's Eve. Now, don't you all have something better to do than listen to me talk on New Year's Eve? You all heard me this afternoon, right? You hear me again? Well, what do you know? We have a full house tonight. Appreciate you all coming by. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve, whatever you want to call it. And then tomorrow will be over. And we'll be in the new year of 2015. Where's your crystal balls at? Don't have them. Nobody have them except God. Through Jesus Christ, he's told us what's going to happen, but we don't know exactly the day or the hour when all this takes place. We just live our lives. Live your life. Not in fear. Not in worry, man. Not in fear of death. Why fear? What's the problem? Well, if they get you to fear, they get you to lose your faith. That's what they want. It's hard for us as humans to believe there's a supernatural in a natural way. Whew, that makes sense. It's not natural to believe in something you can't see, smell, feel, touch, whatever. It's not natural. Yet we know it's there. Whoa, that's heavy. So there's a lot of faith. Now, the people that see the supernatural, they better start worrying, because in witchcraft and Freemasonry at the highest level, they see these supernatural events, because that's how Satan is spouting himself off. God depends on faith. Until the time comes, he says that's enough. And that's called the tribulations. But right now, Satan, fallen angels, depend on their cleverness in connection with those who follow them to show them supernatural things, give certain powers of remote viewing and prophecy and so forth that doesn't always come true, by the way. Be able to handle energy in front of them. Wow, look what I can do. Wow, geometric, sacred geometry, whatever. To convince them to sell their soul to the devil. And as soon as Satan loses his position in this world, he will start taking the souls. Psalms 34:21. And the evil shall slay the wicked. God will allow it to happen. Satan uses mankind that follows him up to a certain point, then he kills them. It's that simple. Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, all of them that followed, died soon after they completed their mission, by the way. And they all fail. Anton LaVey, screaming on his way out. They all think it's going to be a graduation when they die. Anton LaVey would tell you different if he were alive today. But God gives you promises that he keeps. He'll keep this one. But family, it's a test. I was in Marines for 12 years. You just don't get in and sign up and go join the Marines. You have to go through what's called boot camp or a similar training called Officer's Candidate School, where they try to cut you out. Paris Island, where they shape you into a Marine. You just don't just join. You got to go through initiation of sort. It's not easy. Well, this physical world we live in is such a place. Think of it like this. The angels that sinned against God had the lust because they had the physical bodies on this earth to try to lead man in the right path and be watchers. Show man how to get along in this new world. But they fell in lust with the daughters of men, sinned against God, and intermingled DNA. Angelic DNA that comes from a physical body. They don't have this in the supernatural realm because they have supernatural bodies. But when they came on earth, they could no longer have supernatural bodies, little orbs of light. They had to take on a physical form to communicate with mankind. Well, when they took on the physical form, they took on the physical characteristics, but with a different DNA pattern. But nevertheless, they still had the functions of a physical body. That means they had the lust and the free will. It didn't go so well. They brought on the flood. Yeah, that was kind of bad. Second group of fallen angels, watchers, same thing happened to them after Nimrod. They fell into lust. Angels have free will. Also. So second group of fallen angels also sinned against God. But this time it brought the generations of the pharaohs to lead man. And that's where you get your royal blue bloodline families today that are hybrids of the fallen angels. So now comes the second go-around, which will be destroyed by Armageddon and by fire. That's what's happened. But those humans that show they have the patience, the control of their body, the free will to follow God and be obedient to him, because you're thrown into the fire, you are tested every day. God's not messing around. Wages of sin is death. Separation from him. He hates sin. So free will has a dead sword to it. And every time it's been a violation of free will. What about the Jews? They rejected their role after the Jacob of bringing the word of God to mankind. It, both all 10 tribes were scattered. Two tribes fought each other for over 200 years. Didn't work out so well. Jerusalem was destroyed. Made the wrong choices. Jesus came back. He did return. The Messiah did come, rather. Not return, but he did come. He's rejected again. Resulted in the crucifixion. But boy, when he comes back this time, he's no longer intercessor. He's no longer savior. He is a judge. He is the judge. You will say, here come the judge? Well, you can say that again, because he will not come back to be an intercessor this time. He's intercessor right now through the Holy Spirit. He's your lawyer to God. But when he comes back, God will give him full power and authority to be judge, because God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one and the same. I'm going to talk about that tonight. We could go over a little bit, but not much. And last night, I just was led to talk about the end times events. I just had to go that way. I just nothing I could do. And it's all, nothing was scripted whatsoever. It's all off the top of my head. And I, last 30 minutes of my broadcast last night was just taken over. That's just what happened. And I had to talk about this Yeshua, the fake Jesus. Sanan Emmanuel, he's coming. So many Christians will be fooled by this. The New Age movement, do as thou wilt, it's coming. It's coming. And there's so much to be warned about considering that. Because that is the falling away. Falling away hadn't happened yet. Being set up for it, yeah. Let's dedicate the broadcast. I want to get started tonight. We'll talk about the finishing well, too. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Father, we come together on this night, Father, and worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us now to cross over from the physical world into heaven through your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that keeps us in touch. Father, keeps us straight, convicts us when we fall away. Lord, we pray for our family members that are ailing, and we pray for our family members that, Father, has been attacked by these, by what Satan has put in this world. And Lord, we pray for protection of our family members, and we pray for protection of ourselves through the blood of Jesus. And Father, you'll guard our minds with the Holy Spirit and the helmet of salvation. And Father, the whole armor of God, Father, we call upon you to put it on our bodies, put the shield of faith, and Father, the full armor of God, we pray. The Father protects us from Satan. Because Father, we see the evil coming about. We see it rising up. And Father, we see every day that we need to pray this protection over us. We call upon you, Lord, for this protection, for the wisdom and discernment you can give us, to arm us, to write upon our hearts the scriptures. And we pray on that full armor of God, that belt of truth, buckled around our waist, that we are centered and circled by your truth. We pray on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our vital organs and inner man, covered our integrity, spirit, and soul. It's the wellspring of our life. We pray on those gospel shoes of peace, that we choose to stand in the shoes of your good news and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the solid rock. Lord, we pray on that shield of faith, put it into our hands right now, that shield of faith will guide us through, will extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy to take us down spiritually, or physically, or mentally, or even emotionally. We pray on that helmet of salvation, that our minds will be protected from the influences of Satan and his world. That, Father, we'll be able to speak for others, speak to others. And, Father, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the King James Bible. And we pray this offensive weapon into our hand and our hearts, as that your word would be fitting for every encounter we face in our walk. In all these things we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Are you noticing? I'm not going to dwell on this. It's more what I talked about earlier today in the broadcast. But that there's multiple deaths happening among family members or significant others, like in Canada recently, where a man killed 9 people and himself. It's always a shooting of some kind and suicide. A lot of this is technology and supernatural. Evil is picking up the pace. We see it now every day. Those that's not paying attention but watching TV and playing solitaire on the computers and all that, they're not going to see it before they get hit. They're going to get blindsided. When they get blindsided, and it's coming, they're going to depend on the watchman to speak up. And a lot of people ain't going to like the watchman. They're going to like it all. Your militia, Rambo types, will want to go fight, put on camouflage paint because they saw it on TV. They'll die. They have no idea that. They have no clue what they're up against. And how do you tell them? I was on a talk show not long ago, and it was geared to about God, but they were talking about the patriotic rah-rah-rah stuff and all that. And I, you know, I'm a former U.S. Marine, and so I understand this, you know, and I understand the home protection and all that stuff going on. And they want to interject God into Revolution 2. You can't do the both. But they wanted to. And they want to try to find ways we're going to stop the New World Order. I said, really, I ain't going to do that. Name some names. I said, well, that ain't going to work. Name some things. I said, well, that's not going to work either. And then somebody called up and says, you know, the guy knows what he's talking about me, but he's a negative. I said, negative. Everything you bring up, he's got something to talk about it. It doesn't work. I said, well, yeah, it doesn't work, you know. If you've got certain people that you're going to depend on, generals, they're going to lead you and all that, and they have to be Knights of Malta, it's not going to work. If you don't have the right weapons, if you're going to do this fire them up thing, and you take a bunch of slingshots with ball bearings, it's not going to work. Am I supposed to be quiet and tell you that certain things aren't going to work when I know they're not? Everybody's trying to look at it for man to solve it himself. It's not going to happen. This is a supernatural war. There's no way around it. supernatural. And there's going to be tribulations. But they got things out there, family, that's trying to distract you and us and all of us. You know, there's a funny story about a bloodhound. And you know, he started chasing this deer. But a fox crossed his path. So he started chasing the fox instead. After a while, chasing that fox, a rabbit crosses his path. So the hound chases a rabbit. And later, a mouse crossed his path, and the hound chased the mouse into a hole. So now this hound dog started his hunt on the trail with a magnificent deer, ended up watching a mouse hole. You know, a lot of us might laugh at the bloodhound. But if you stop, think, you realize that often we too are easily distracted. At times may even be sidetracked from following Jesus. So when we start getting distracted, we run from him. We run. It's so easy to start well, but then run after things that cross our paths. We have to take to heart the words of the Apostle Paul. He told Timothy to focus on the purpose of his life and ministry. 2 Timothy 1:6-13 says it. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou art to stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, Freemasons, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Timothy 2:1-2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And 22, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Right there would apply to why he does not want us to debate. Because in debates, You get fish and unlearned questions, comments. They just don't even deserve an answer. 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. And meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. And then the first, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Again. Because all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those are powerful scriptures, family. He urged them to tell others about Christ and to warn them not to turn aside. In 4:1-5, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at the appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch thou, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Those are powerful, powerful scriptures, family. 2 Timothy 1:6-13. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. 2 Timothy 2:22-26. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. And 2 Timothy 4:1-5. So you see, the values of this world can easily influence us. Ironically enough, I talked about that today and yesterday. They tempt us to despise sound doctrine, except what is false. Talks about in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. So you got to know and proclaim God's word, persevere through hardships, and keep the faith. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. So with God's help, we can keep our eyes on Christ Jesus, stay close to him, and finish well. Theologian Hess said that, let me walk with you, dear Savior, side by side and hand in hand. Keep me clean and pure and faithful till I reach the heavenly land. Man, don't be like that hound dog. Because they're trying to get you like that hound dog. With all this distraction, dilections, derelictions, all kinds of things going on, medicating. Isn't that like it? You're chasing a deer, and there goes a, you know, a fox across your path. There comes a rabbit. And here comes a mouse, and end up just chasing the hole. That's what the world is about. That's why it has seven ashram rays that the fallen angels work on us with. Uh-huh. See how it works? Politics, religion, science, education, harmony, beauty, and the arts, economics and finance, and philosophy. And what do you know? I got all seven. Those seven areas are specific, by the way, and have milestones and objectives. These are documented. Deer, rabbit, mouse, fox. See, that's the distractions in all those areas. That's what they're for, exactly. I can virtually prove it, too. Because it's documented in their own textbook. I mean, that's heavy. We can ask the question, how can Jesus be equal to God when he admits at the same time he's subservient to the will of God? Uh-oh. So you'll find that the key to answering this issue is the nature of the incarnation that takes place. Jesus was made lower than the angels in physical form. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So he had to be made lower than the angels. Man, you don't mess with God's angels when they're down here. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah found that out the hard way. When you read about in Judges or in the Old Testament that one angel that slaughtered 100,000 Assyrians in one night, how he did that, I don't know, but the result was 100,000 dead Assyrians. They was graveyard dead by one angel. Now, one angel. Look it up. Oh, that's just a start. How do these secret societies, those that follow Satan and others, how in the world do they really expect to be the God that already knows what they're going to do before they even know they're going to do something? That knows the end from the beginning, can uncreate what he created? They got to be some kind of dumb. I mean, that's dumb. Jesus had to be made lower than the angels to taste death for all of us. But the story is that the doctrine of the incarnation says a second person. Jesus took on human flesh. So in this respect, he was fully human, therefore lower than the angels. So by taking on human nature, like us, Jesus did not give up on his divine nature. God cannot stop being God. Like the old man in the sea in this movie I saw some time ago. You got to be what you are. But when you change, they didn't tell you this in the movie, you change your nature. You don't have to keep on being the old man in the fish. You can become a new creature with Jesus Christ, but supernaturally. A change. We're stuck with a problem, though, to reconcile the fact that the second person, Jesus, was fully divine and still fully human, thus making him lower than the angels who were spiritual. Then we look then to scriptures in Philippians 2. Philippians 5 to 11, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it was not robbery to be equal with God." Did you get that? Man, that's slam dunk. That's why they don't like Paul none. He's got a lot of slam dunk quotes and scriptures given to him by God. "Who, being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion to as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did not Isaac do the same thing?" Can you imagine the faith of the son and the faith of a father, Abraham and Isaac? Taking them up for a sacrifice, he said, "Well, where's the lamb at?" Oh. He didn't start running and say, pull out a knife. "Dad, you're going crazy. You're not going to, No. He was obedient to the father. His father, Abraham, was obedient to his father, God. Because Abraham figured that God would raise him from the dead, because he was also promised. He was also promised to be a leader of all nations, of many nations. So he knew, okay. Of course, Satan mocks this by human sacrifice of millions of children, wars, abortion, all kinds of ways. Some people don't even know. That's some serious obedience right there. Then, of course, right before he's going to bring the knife down upon Isaac, wait. And he saw that God intervened. He tested his faith. Philippians 2:9. "Wherefore God also has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth." "Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, Jesus took on this human form, which was extraordinary. Christ was made himself nothing. What that means is that Jesus voluntarily gave up the prerogative of freely exercising his divine will and the attributes to it, subjecting himself to the will of the Father while on earth, as Isaac did, as Abraham did. There's also another consideration. And that's the fact that the subservience, that was awkward. The subservience, I can't get that right sometimes when I'm thinking about it, is a role that's not equal to his subservience in essence. The subservience in the role that he does, that he did, doesn't equal to his subservience in essence. For example, an employer and employee relationship. The employer has a right to make demands of the employee. The employee has the obligation to serve the employer. So the roles here clearly define the subservient relationship. However, both people are still human beings and share in that same human nature. They're both humans. There's no difference between the two as to their essence. They stand as equals. So the fact that one is an employer and the other is an employee does nothing to alter the essential equality of these two individuals as being human beings. It's just their position. So, the same can be said of the members of the Trinity. All three members, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are essentially equal. A lot of folks have a hard time with that. They can't be separate. 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, you read the other Bibles, they don't say that. All it has is, for three agree. For there are three that agree. Three what? Three blind mice? What are you talking about? But the King James, it tells you specifically. And all the other Bibles, for there are three that testify. For there's three that agree. And it leads to the question, three what? Three who? Well, that's why they corrupted the Bibles. King James is completely different. It tells you exactly. These three, the Trinity, are all divine in nature. However, when you look at the grand plan of redemption, they play certain roles. And these roles define authority and subservience. There is subordination of the Trinity because of the physical nature. The Father commands the Son, and the Father and the Son command the Holy Spirit. So, the fact that the Son took on a human nature and made himself subservient to the Father in no way denies the deity of the Son. Still the same. Same essence. It doesn't diminish his essential quality with the Father or the greatness spoken of in the verse. Then it relates to the role, not the essence. People have a hard time with that, but then they want to have a hard time with that in a lot of religions because it upsets their doctrine that they've homemade it. So, then comes, should Christians believe that Jesus is God? Well, they want you to believe, they want you to believe that he's a prophet. He's a good man. Very intelligent, very smart, and a prophet. Well, you also have the false prophet that they call Sanan Emmanuel. Or the brother of Satan, Jesus Christ. Or a prophet, Islam, think Jesus is a prophet. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is incarnated. And all these religions were founded by Illuminati. Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, Muhammad the prophet. Of course, Islam was created by the Vatican anyway. In the 6th century. And then you worship the Pope, for goodness sakes. Come on now. That's not cool. The Bible, which we believe is trustworthy, I believe is trustworthy. You can find it for yourself, how you see it. You can't Bible study when you're missing verses. That's not easy to do. How people ignore that, I just don't understand it. I mean, for me, it was common sense. When I discovered it several years ago, I couldn't believe it. I was like 5, 6, 7, I forget how many years ago it was. It was a good while ago. I said, well, you know, these other Bibles okay, I guess. And then I started finding out, wait a minute, wait a minute. It's missing verses, man. The verses aren't there. They plucked them right out of there. I didn't even bother to renumber it. I said, that's not right. Like 237 in the NIV, 100,000 words are missing out of the New King James Bible. I said, this is crazy. This doesn't even make any sense. And I found out the King James has all the verses, all the words. It's on stream of translation. Well, you know, it'll take common sense to figure that out. And yet you got theologians at the highest level of teaching in colleges that say they're all the same. It's insane. How do you possibly do that when they're missing verses? Well, King James added to it. Added to it? What? That doesn't make any sense either. Because, yeah, it added to it because they were missing in the other Bibles. If it's missing, you add to it. Oh, my gosh. The Watchtower Society, known as the Jehovah's Witnesses, and other cults deny the deity of Jesus. They teach that Jesus was merely a man, an angel, or one of the gods that they say exist. And we all know, if you're my regular followers and listen to my broadcast, when they say one of many gods, well, you all know who that is. It's the fallen angels, the ascended masters, as they call them in the New Age movement. So what are some of the reasons we believe that Jesus Christ is God from the Bible? Well, Apostle Thomas, stubborn. Woohoo, that boy was stubborn. He was the last one to give in after the death and resurrection of Jesus. In John 20, 27 to 29, Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put them in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my," what? "God." Jesus didn't correct him. Jesus went on to say, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed." That's why I don't believe that people today see Jesus as far as coming to them. The Jesus we think is Jesus, that ain't Jesus. You ever think about that? It's not. So who are they seeing? Nobody's ever seen Jesus in a portrait or never took a picture, never did a carving. How do they know what Jesus looks like? Well, they don't. So you look at the portraits that's painted today, and you look at what Leonardo da Vinci, who was an avatar of the fallen angels, by the way. That's where he got his talent. It wasn't him. I explained that already now. Long hair, blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus. Nope, that ain't Jesus. Last Supper. Anybody ever questioned the Last Supper? How does Leonardo da Vinci, who is not Christian but a philosopher, how is he going to be inspired to know who is sitting where? And what Jesus even looked like? He didn't. Nobody ever questions the Last Supper. We assume it's correct, but it's not. And just very coincidentally, he paints a female-looking figure right beside Jesus. Some people say that was Paul, it was effeminate. Some people say it was Mary, because he married Mary and had kids after. Oh, they come up with all kinds of nonsense. Oh, they're sneaky. Because this goes back a long way. Leonardo da Vinci. And then he capitalized on it. When the time came, that's where the Knights Templars were formed. Protect the offspring of Jesus and Mary. Well, they got the wrong Jesus. Because they say the offspring of Jesus and Mary was the Merovingian bloodline, the king and queen of England. Mary took off to France and all this other Dan Brown nonsense. Now, fallen angel? Yep. Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Nope. They got the wrong Jesus. And the reason that I don't believe they're seeing Jesus today, because they don't say, "Well, wait a minute, it didn't look like the one that's in their pictures." Uh-huh. It's the wrong one. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. So when do you change that? He didn't. The Apostle Peter called Jesus God. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul called Jesus God in Titus 2, 12 to 14. Titus 2, 12, 14. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Looking for that blessed hope that the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, I don't go up and start burning Korans. I don't go up and say, like Stephen Anderson does, that guy, where is he? I forgot where he operates, Arkansas or Arizona or somewhere. Or like Terry Jones that burns the Koran. They know what they're doing. They want the Muslims, they want the homosexuals to despise Christianity so they will not convert. This is how Jesuits do it. Stephen Anderson said all homosexuals should be killed. Say what? Terry Jones, he burns the Korans. That's to cause the Muslims to get, you know, rebellious, to fight. So they won't jump over. But then here comes Rick Warren, a CFR member, says, well, now we want you all to come together. You see the games these people play? They'll answer to God. These are games that Satan uses his minions for. To keep people in fear, always at odds, and it's too much at odds, then they know the dialectic is they're come together. But come together under a malevolent leadership. That's the trick. Oh, it's clever. It really is. The Apostle John called Jesus God. John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. It's the confirmation for the reference to the Word as reference to Jesus. Verses 1, 1 to 3, and verses 1, 14. That's a slam dunk right there. And God the Father called Jesus God. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But to the Son, he says, that's God the Father, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of your kingdom. Man, it just goes and goes. I'm not done yet. But to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Isaiah the prophet said Messiah would be God. Isaiah 9:6. See, I come loaded tonight. Last night I got all back, but not really. I had to talk about the one Sananda and go to the end times events that had to be talked about on record. But tonight, I'm finish up. Probably maybe tomorrow we'll probably go on more. I don't know. We'll see. Isaiah 9:6. I bet you never heard this one before. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Did you know that this one named Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, who's called Sananda Emmanuel, is also going to be called, when he makes his appearing, Yeshua, Krishna. the Imam Mahdi, Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva, the Prince of Peace, the Christ, and the Lord Maitreya, and the Kalki Avatar. He'll be all eight in one. We'll cover the whole spectrum of all religions in this one man. And nobody's expecting this. See, the ones that's anti-Muslim will say he's going to be Imam Mahdi. Well, wait a minute, it's not all. Prince of Peace, that covers the Christians. Krishna covers the New Agers. Kalki Avatar, you're Hindu, Hindu, and all this, do whatever. Maitreya, New Agers again. The Christ. You're going to be called the Christ also. He's going for the whole spectrum. That's the false prophet. Being an ascended master. Or an alien, if for the atheist. It covers the whole darn gamut. So everybody will accept him. That's what's coming. Project Bluebeam, etc. But that's their problem. I'll be preaching against it if I'm still alive. As hard and fast as I can go. God the Father in the Old Testament is also called the Mighty God in Isaiah 10:21. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the Mighty God. Oh, well, there you go. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, Holy One of Israel, in the truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob. That's the 12 tribes. Under the Mighty God. That would be the millennium. For though thy people, Israel, be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. It's important. That's yet to happen. You know, the Jews who crucified Jesus understood him to be saying he was equal with God. John 5:18. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. In John 10:33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For good work we stone you not." Was it John 10:33? You make sure about that. Yes, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." How much more clear can he get on that? How come they don't see that? Exodus 3:14, Jesus himself said, "I am," the Old Testament name for God. In Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, "I am that I am." It would be Elohe, Elohe. Not Jehovah. Not Yahweh. Ain't no Yahweh there. Elohe, Elohe, and Jehovah. He said that thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, "I am, has sent me unto you." Elohe, has sent me unto you. Well, in John 8:58-59, we read, Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What happened there? He pulled a little supernatural on him. And don't tell me some cloak of invisibility. I don't want to hear that nonsense. He supernaturally changed his body right then and went amongst them. They said, where'd he go? I don't know. Or blinded them so they could not see him. Jesus called himself, he says himself, him, the Alpha and the Omega, which is the title of Almighty God. Revelation 22, 12 to 13. That's the revelation to John. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, he says, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 1 verse 8. Well, to make sure, he does it again. In Revelation 1 verse 8, he says, in Revelation to John, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. He's like God in Genesis 1:1. You go up to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. Well, Colossians 1:16-17. It's interesting. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In John 1:3. Man, there's a ton of scripture that prove that Jesus is God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Yet God says in Isaiah 44:24, he also says, what did I say it was? 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that forms thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, spreads abroad the earth by myself. Man, just one hammer thing after another. One verse after the other. And like God, Jesus forgives sin. Mark 2, 5-7. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there are certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Mark 2:10-11. It just gets better and better. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And that's exactly what he did. And also, like God, Jesus gives eternal life. John 10, verses 27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Woo, boy, don't you know that slammed them hard dunk. Awful bad. It's very important. John 10:27-30. Man, I bet that torqued their jaw something awful. Don't you know? He stood by it. And you know, like God, Jesus receives, and still receive worship. Matthew 14:32-33. And when they come from the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, so in these things, he doesn't correct them. That in itself is a proof. Matthew 28:9 and Matthew 28:17. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And 28:17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even back then, all the miracles he did, they saw. Still some doubted it. John 9:37-38. And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. He said, well, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. In Revelation 5:13. And every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, there we go again, and such are in thee, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. And even in Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, that begotten has got to be there. That's why they're taking it out of the other Bibles. They did. In the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. You know, in this, all these cases, Jesus never rebuked any of his followers for worshiping him. And yet worship of anything or anyone other than God is forbidden in the Bible. How about Luke 4:8? And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. And you know, Jesus said that the only God was good, and Jesus was good. Only God was good, and Jesus was good. Mark 10:17-18. How come they can't get all these scriptures? How come that the people forget these things, man? Because they're all slam dunk. One hammer, one after the other. 10:17-18. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest me good? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. John 10:11, that is. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Jesus was as good as they come. He was sinless, holy, righteous, innocent, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Hebrews 7:26. For as such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's pretty good, isn't it? That describes him perfectly. And like God, Jesus can be present in any more than one place at one time. Like in Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There could be all kinds of different places. And Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. Amen. And you know, one of the Jesus titles is God with us. In Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's what Sanan Emmanuel is calling himself, by the way. Big mistake. And you know, Jesus' blood is called God's blood. Acts 20:28. In 20:28 of Acts, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And you know that Jesus has the same nature as God? Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of all his glory, and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And on the backstretch here, Jesus spoke as God. He would say things like, thus saith the Lord, but as God I say to you. In Matthew 5:27-29, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Woo! That's tough. Why do you think you have Miss America pageants? Why do you think you have Miss Junior pageantry? Why do you have a little, you know, third, fourth, and fifth grade pageants? Why do you think you have Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rugged Muscle, or Hobby Bach? Why do you think you have all these magazines covers, which is not pornography in the drugstores? Look at all the modeling. Now you make marriages near impossible. You put this in front of people. A little pushing, a little edging on. Look what you got. Add to it a little bit of vodka at lunchtime. That was a jingle for vodka. You couldn't spill it on the breath during the days of the 60s and 70s. All this is for that reason. That's the only reason. NFL, cheerleaders. Look what happens. It's right before our eyes. I'm as guilty as anybody. But I see it for what it is. And I have to mention it. I've had people argue me this point. Well, if God didn't give us the eyes to look, he wouldn't give us eyes to see. I say, what? I say, well, you know, I'd like to argue that point, but I can't do that because the Bible says that I either do the Bible or I don't. Granted, I had my days in the old when I didn't fare so well. I started learning. I realized that I was wrong. Dead wrong. That now, because the Holy Spirit's within us, us looking and saying, oh, man, oh, check that out. Ooh, look at there. I've committed adultery already in my heart. Now, being adultery is one of the many sins. If I say, I like to kill that guy, you know, it ticks me off. I've committed murder already in my heart. I'd like to have what he's got, man. Look at gold. Look at that money. I'd like to have that money, yeah. I've already committed covetousness in my heart. It doesn't stop at adultery. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 7:28-29. We're on the home stretch here, family. Matthew 7:28-29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And finally, like God, Psalms 136:3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, O lords, for his mercy endureth forever. He is called the Lord of lords and King of kings. Revelation 17:14. In the revelation of John. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Also see 1 Timothy 6:15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So it's pretty clear from all these passages I've given you, and dozens of others that really I haven't even covered yet, that Jesus was and is God Almighty. Don't let a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or Unitarian or Universalist or whatever, Muslim or Timbuktu New Ager, tell you otherwise or lead you astray. Noble-minded Bereans, Acts 17:11. Says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. And lead them that way. You can't make them, but you can lead them. If you can't lead them, you got to move on. Family, I didn't get to the other part. I'll talk tomorrow about how Satan may, probably at the broadcast, I may talk about, I'll see how that worked out in. People need to know who really controls this world for right now. God allows this control of Satan for the time being. But is Satan the god of this world? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Because that's something the Joint Chief of Staff and the world governments better pay attention to. Of who they're following. And it's not God of the Bible. It's certainly not mankind that's in the Creator. They're following the wrong one. Family, let's close in prayer. Because I threw a whole lot of scriptures at you. And you need to commit these to memory. Be able to go to them directly. Put them in your Bible, little notes or sticky things or something. So when they come knocking on your door with their bicycles, say, sure, come on in. You want some tea? Oh, you don't drink tea? Okay. How about coffee? Oh, not coffee either. Okay. How about some water? And then tell them, let them give their spill. That's what I do. And I say, you know that God is Jesus and Jesus is God. Woo, it gets ugly from then on. They don't like that. You know the King James Bible is the only true word of God. Oops, strike number two. Let me show you. Hold on a minute. Can I show you in your book? And you got it all there for them. You planted a seed, but you can't handcuff them to the chair. You go to jail for that. Family, let's close in prayer. And we'll see y'all tomorrow. Just let y'all know that John Kirkler plays our broadcast and Bible studies on a regular basis. No certain time. HighPointRadio.net, John Kirkler. He has sponsors in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's doing really well, I understand. And I thank you all for your participation with him. We're using his sponsors. You can find those out on on HighPointRadio.net. And use his sponsors. Or give some hand there. Whatever. For us, for me, he plays my broadcasts and Bible studies. Have Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And my website is watchmanforjesus.com. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Lord, that we come together in this network. That, Lord, we pray to you. Ask you, Lord, for wisdom, discernment. That, Father, we know that Jesus is coming back. Father, we wait for that day. Father, to give us wisdom and discernment, opportunities to witness to others. And Father, to keep our faith strong. Keep us protected and convict us when we fall away. We pray for protection of our family members. We pray for the Holy Spirit to convict others. That Father, they'll come asking the questions and give us, Father, the answers that we can give them. All these things we pray. The name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the closing, this so happens, you'll hear one of the scriptures being played out by my ending song. Y'all have a good night and God bless. It's been a pleasure tonight. Thank you all for showing up. Give me the opportunity to share with you the fact that Jesus is God, and he's coming back. Have a good night, and God bless. Here's your watchman, signing off. Heaven's gates are open wide.
Jesus. I am with you every day to the end.